Welcome back. Tonight we have an Of Steam, Steel, and Murder adventure. We're still deciding on which set of rules and what tweaks to use for the next season. And in this recording, we give Fate Accelerated a try. We also have a new voice to introduce, a longtime listener who's decided to join us for this adventure and perhaps for many more. We set up some of the first story arc in this adventure, but for the most part, it's just playing through an investigation and kicking the Fate Accelerated tires. We hope you enjoy Season 3, Session 1, Part 1, from Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and start then. And tonight we're doing a session of Steam, Steel, and Murder in Season 3. So this is a canon game. This is going to count for the history. We are going to be using the Fate Accelerator. Blow it all up. Burn it to the ground. We're going to be trying the Fate Accelerated rules to see how well it works for our setting and the style of game that this ends up being. So. I'm going to run a few of these so I can get some different opinions from different people and let people listen to it and give voice to what they think. But
Is the thought then that the main game will be played using Fate Accelerated?
It's possible. If this is liked enough, I've always felt that the game revolves more on solving the problem or a mystery versus really getting too much into the nuts and bolts of a system. We've been doing it pretty freewheeling over the last 3 or 4 years. But, you know, I may be wrong, so I wanted to see what the players think. I think there is enough here in Fate Accelerated to make it useful, but, again, I'm looking for opinions. After we get a few of these done, people get to listen to them and weigh in on what they think.
Second, more in terms of gadgets and stuff, it's not as easy to do in Fate Accelerated as it is in the main system. Anyway, we'll find out.
Yeah, we will find out. So we have four new characters entering the SSM universe, and I'm just going to go down on the screen. So Ronald Biggles, introduce himself.
Ronald Biggles is a drunken ex-pilot, now a bit grizzled. He was in the British Air Force for a while, but it was he slept in too late one day because he'd been out drinking the night before, and his entire squad got destroyed by the German force they went up against for that particular battle, and he got blamed for it all, even though if he had gone, he would have been killed as well. But he got thrown out of there, and he moved around a bit. Ended up in Metapole, and the checker grabbed and thought, oh, he's a useful resource who's been around the world a bit. He shows up from time to time, sometimes sober. You take what you can get.
All right, and playing Seymour Jones.
This is Chris. Seymour is he's an almost blind watchmaker and tinkerer. He loves everything mechanical, especially the small stuff. He lives in a, not the best place, but it's home for him. And he walks around the city looking for little things. And, he just pays attention to everything that's out there. About it, I guess.
All right, and Vernon Woodwright.
All right, I'm playing Vernon Woodwright, and Vernon is a master carpenter for a very long time, but he was not in any of the appropriate union guilds, so a blind eye when was turned to him when his shop was mysteriously burned down after an expensive purchase of wood was made and he had no more money. So now he's looking for a career change and became a Cheka handyman. If you need a secret panel installed, Vernon's your guy. And that's about it.
Steve is also a new voice to our podcast. I understand Steve's been listening for a while. And finally, we get him in a game. Poor, poor soul. And now, Warren Ferdinand? Ferdinand.
Okay. It's Brant's Ferdinand. It's French. Although, Warren Fernand is a hard-drinking freelance war correspondent. Is the war actually kicked off in Season 3? I mean, I know there was the initial
It's Cold War now.
It's the Cold War. Yeah,
this is where the now 3R occupied Germany has said, everyone leave us alone and we won't bomb the rest of you.
So. Excellent.
So he's more about ferreting out the spies and the secrets that are going on in this Cold War, the bits and pieces which are going on behind the scenes than the on the front line, so to speak. He's in Metapol to see what dirty secrets he can uncover.
Has he got any connections with a certain gonzo journalist or so in Metapol?
I hadn't thought of that. That would be a good one, wouldn't it?
It just occurred to me then.
Yeah, that'd be a great tie.
Right.
All right, and everyone's kind of... Oh, I'm sorry, did you have more to...
No.
Okay, Richard. And if everyone, we'll start with Ronald, if you can tell our audience what your... we've pretty much got the high concept, but now if everyone can tell me what their trouble is, starting with Ronald.
Well, just repeat, high concept is grizzled, drunken ex-pilot. Trouble is, you're looking at me.
Short-tempered, perhaps.
We're willing to take a bit of a defense, even if there was none directed anywhere near him.
Right. And Seymour.
The high concept is detail-oriented, and his trouble is that he can't see that far.
Nice. And
what happens when you work with small things.
Mm-hmm. Vernon's concept is an old tradesman learning a new craft. His trouble is... guilds don't like having me around because he blames them for his shop burning down. And they're probably innocent.
I was there the one time I had to spill something. Accidents happen.
Every time he's in one of our buildings. And and Warren.
Yeah, the high concept is hard drinking freelance war correspondent. And the trouble is journalists run in where angels fear to tread.
All right, and everyone starts with 3 fate chips. Just make a mark somewhere for yourselves so you're keeping track of how many you have, assuming no one got more than 3 stunts to start with.
No. Okay. I've still got a free aspect to buy at some point as well.
That's fine.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you can do it mid-game if you want. Just mark it down when you decide what it is. And all of your characters have, in one way or another, been employed by the Cheka. Which is essentially now the peacekeeping arm of Metapol, as well as being used internationally for different things. The investigatory branch of the Cheka is where you guys have fallen in recently. Through various reasons, they found that your unique talents will be more useful in this division. Now, you're still free to have a private life as an investigator with the Cheka. It's not necessarily a full-time job. You're just expected to drop everything you're doing when they call, however. And such as it is today, you find yourself at 8 o'clock in the morning, staring blurry-eyed at a corpse on the ground. Dum-dum-dum. That's most of the start of this game.
So are we supposed to have all been working together as a team?
Yeah, do we know each other?
Nope, you may know each other from going through... Well, you will have ran into each other going through recruitment and skill development, but you have no history together unless you wish to declare that as an aspect or something.
I was just thinking that myself and Bills have probably been drinking in the same bars a few times but still don't recognize one another.
Oh, you're that guy!
Feel that third blue from the right,
But you find yourself this morning in the Farthing Building, which is an apartment complex in the District 4 of Metapol. This building is in the, not the super rich section, but it's still a well-appointed neighborhood. This particular building is 5 stories. Each story holds 4 apartments, and these are meant for people that are doing, they're going to be here for... You know, not just a day or a week, but are here for long-term housing, but don't want to buy a house in town, okay? So they are, you know, semi-private. You share a floor with 3 other residents. If you guys are looking at the screen now, this is the layout of the floor. This is the second floor. This is flat A. So this will be the first one on the left as you come up the stairs.
The second floor, you said?
The second floor. You were called in. You were dispatched here. There was a police call that came out through you guys. 6 o'clock this morning, a waiter who was given instructions by the tenant every morning to have a specially delivered breakfast. The tenant did not answer the door, as this is a full-service establishment. The waiter opened the door, wanting to leave the meal in for the resident, figuring that he was taking a shower or otherwise indisposed, and he came upon the body. The reason the Cheka and you were called is because the person is a foreigner of unknown disposition. They're not exactly sure where this man is from, nor did he have any papers on his body. Papers are a big thing now, by the way. Borders have been tightened in most places. It's very difficult to move from one place to another without having some form of identification or declaration on you. And so here you stand, four people, unknown to one another, but you all have your shiny new investigatory badges. fresh out of the training.
Polishes it up a little bit. Yes. Rubs his coat sleeve on it. Checks around the digs. Checks the woodwork. Judges well, the craftsmanship.
Right. It's actually a very nice place. The main living room is, of course, the largest room in the building. It's well appointed. The carpet is lush. The colors are subdued. There are hanging portraits and paintings on the wall, all of quality, but not from really well-known artists. To your practiced eye, it's mostly all cosmetic, though. You have a feeling the bones of the place are probably shoddy and put together quickly. Most of the opulence is covering. The rouge on the whore. as your character might think.
I've known some pretty nice whores in the past. You know, meet a wooden leg every now and then. You never know.
The police have sealed off this floor. There was only one other resident in building D, which would be the far right corner. It's an old man in his 70s who, after the excitement of the morning, had heart palpitations and was taken to the hospital, which effectively clears out this floor. Guests can go to higher floors without having to stop at this floor, so that egress and ingress have been left open, but this floor has been sealed off.
The waiter still around?
He can be if you wish. Right now, you're just let in. The manager essentially gives you the key. Although the door is already open, no one has reclosed or relocked it. Once the police got here, minimal movement has been done in there. Once the waiter left, no one else entered the room except for the policeman who came next, and then you. So we will start in the room with you four by yourself until you ask for local NPC to be grabbed.
All right, well, the first thing I'm going to go around and shake hands with everybody and introduce myself. Hi, I'm Fernand. How you doing?
Vernon. Nice to meet you. Ah. You all with the Cheka as well?
Perhaps we've got to show our papers to one another. Just to be sure.
Richard, are you trying a French accent?
No, I'm not trying a French accent.
That's good, because I was thinking, what?
I think he's trying an American accent.
I'm not trying an American accent in particular. I'm just trying an accent to differentiate between in and out of character.
Right.
Acting, dear boy, acting!
Yes, acting! Chicken papers that he's very proud of.
Ah. And all of you actually have shiny new badges. Will declare that you are, in fact, part of the investigatory branch of the Cheka, but also that you are fairly low-ranking members therein. Your badges won't work internationally. They're basically good for Metapol.
So
my badge tarnishes slightly when I breathe on it.
Looking for the guy with rank and find we all have the same rank?
Yes.
Well, boys, I think we should determine the leader of the group. I nominate you. And he points at Jameis's character.
Yeah, let the drunkard go first. The pilot is always in charge.
My thoughts exactly.
Are you dressed as a pilot still? Do you have the goggles and the scarf and everything?
No.
You certainly could have been. You could have been getting ready to fly out for the day when you were called in.
He's ex-pilot, I'll remind you. He does not fly. Actually, I didn't even know what skill do you use when you're flying anyway. It wasn't clear in the game.
So this is the interesting thing about Fate Accelerated. There are no skills. There are approaches to doing things. Right?
Approaches.
So
yeah, I wasn't sure. Would it be a careful approach or a flashy approach?
Well, it could be. Yeah, it all depends on how you're trying.
Be like flashy, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All the fancy flying that you would want to do would fall under flashy.
But the system
dogfighting, I expect. If you're just going from place to place, that might be careful. It could be anything, or quick,
yes,
if
it
you
could.
Need to get there in a hurry. I don't know.
But it supposes that you have the skill to do whatever you try in the manner that you're trying to do it. Now, what's different about Accelerated versus Fate, you know, we weren't really playing Core, but Fate in general, is that in normal Fate, usually a success of one is all you need to succeed. That is not true in Fate Accelerated. There are difficulties. And so this kind of makes up for the skills. So if you have no reason to, for instance, to know how to remove someone's spleen, you're sure you can do it, but it's going to be far more difficult to do it.
We're
chicken
agents. We know how to remove spleens. It's part of being
exactly.
Exactly. If you want them alive or not, doesn't matter.
If you don't have a high concept or an aspect that would, you know, say that you are a doctor or a surgeon, it's going to be much more difficult for you to succeed at doing this. And so that's how that all works. Although I have seen some interesting variants when there's a game being ran with Fate Accelerated in the Deadlands universe where the guy has a small set of skills that are rolled along with the approaches. It's interesting, but I think it just adds more pluses or larger numbers to the pool that really don't make a lot of difference. So I'm going to try this out with just, you know, the base rules to start with, and we'll see what we think. Anyway, back to you.
So, we all check out then. That's great.
So, dude, who's next? Anybody know? What? Anybody do this? None of us, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Does it look like Chica handiwork?
Well, he is laying on his back. The obvious wound on him is a stomach wound where there is a slash in his shirt. And there's blood bleeding out the wound. There does not seem to be a lot of blood around him, however.
Probably not us, Chica guys. We wouldn't leave the body around, right?
Yeah. He's wearing a white dress shirt.
Go for the face.
He's wearing a white dress shirt. He has something under it, which is hard to determine. You can just make out some kind of black fabric beneath the white shirt. And he's got casual slacks on, and he's got loafers on. The thing that stands out is that he is Asiatic. His skin tone is kind of a washed out, kind of a very pale yellow color. His eyes do have the folds, epicanthic folds. Do any of you? Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to ask for in the first roll, just to see if you can kind of gauge where this man may have come from. Everybody give me a clever roll. A clever
I have been bar hopping around the world. It's one of my aspects, so I've been exposed to various cultures.
Yes. Which you may choose to tap that after you see your roll.
I got zero.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
That makes a total of four for me.
Mm, nice.
And I have been on the around a war correspondent, so I have probably seen
around
all
the
kinds of people who have been.
I rolled a zero. My clever is fair, so I got a two.
Okay.
Well, you guys do some investigating. I'll just go sit down over here and get out of your way.
The four, the war correspondent, while the man is Asiatic, you right off the bat are saying he's not Chinese, he's not Korean. You know, you're going through, and you're not quite sure where to place him other than what he's not.
Oh, crap.
Hmm.
Player knowledge kicks in at this point.
So I was going to say, yeah, how much do we know about the technologies of the various countries? Because, I mean, biotech and ventilation was
quite a bit. Quite a bit. I don't want to say too much more just yet because it'll throw out a clue that I don't want to have just, you know, be given to you. I want you to kind of stumble upon it. But, you know, of the countries that have participated in the guild structure or have been players, you know, after the last war and what you're now going through, you know, a fair amount. And, of course, everyone in the Cheka would have been briefed on what to expect if you are in such and such territory. So you have some knowledge, okay? Mm-hmm. So the war correspondent, you notice you have the best role and you have the best eye in the situation to know that, yes, this man is, you know, he is Asiatic, but he's not from any of the countries that you have knowledge of. The person with
this man is a foreigner.
Yeah.
Seymour.
Yep, Seymour. You would think that maybe this person is Chinese, possibly, but that's the best you can do.
Same for Vernon. Then.
Fine by me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look around at some of the decorations on the wall. Any, you know, personal decorations? Wood carvings, perhaps.
In this room, there actually looks like there's nothing personal. I mean, you can go and like move the paintings around, and actually you can't. They're bolted to the walls. Everything in the room looks like it's pre-furnished for the room.
You guys examine the body. I'll go check the bedroom.
Yes, yes. Go find out if this is indeed his place. Sounds like a good idea.
Does he have a watch or a timepiece on him?
He does not.
Did the waiter actually say that this was the guy who lived here?
Yes. Yes. He said this is the person who checked into the hotel, in brief, since you have not questioned them yet, but in brief, he checked in 2 days ago.
Right. Okay.
All right. But you said the wound was bleeding slowly. Was it actually still bleeding when we were here?
While you're here? No.
Right.
Is he still alive? Have we just been talking over?
That is what it was. I mean, or the guy only just got away.
The blood is long since stopped and dried. Is anyone a doctor or have a medical background?
Treated only superficial wounds on the job, I'm afraid.
Well, you guys who are examining the body, we go ahead and I would assume a careful approach is probably the best way to do this since you're carefully examining the body. You guys go ahead and give me a roll.
In a variety of different wounds in my time, but this isn't one of them. I've got flat zero.
Flat zero, it's a gut wound. I mean, you can't tell much more than that.
People die from gut wounds slowly and horribly. I've seen it happen.
Okay.
I think Seymour has killed a few people. You're psychotic there, Seymour. Slow and careful, know all about this.
Right. So you two are the ones around the body. So Seymour. Seymour. Uh-huh. Yeah, it definitely it's a stabbing wound. You can tell by how much blood is around the person that there's not enough blood here for him to have died from. You're thinking, I mean, you're no doctor, but from what you've seen, this is survivable. But you can also tell that the wound was inflicted many hours ago.
So it kind of looks like he got here while he's still bleeding.
No, there's no blood trail anywhere else. I mean, the guy was killed here. You're just suspicious as to whether if this wound is what actually killed him.
All right, I'm going to roll the body over to see if there's something on his back.
Okay. You roll him over, and something metallic falls through the front of his shirt, lands on the ground.
Definitely look at that.
It's a deformed bullet.
Do we know about Tesla rays and stuff?
Yes, you definitely would know about T-rays.
Okay, just checking. Not that I've got any reason to suspect them at the moment, just making sure.
Guns are still illegal, right?
Yes, they are.
Huh.
I imagine we're all packing tasers of some sort?
Yes, you are. Although the international agents actually are certified to carry firearms, but you are not there yet.
Don't forget our good old cudgels.
Did it look like he has a bullet wound, or it just fell out of his pocket?
You're a robot there again, Chris. You're going to need to reset your microphone again. There we go.
Yeah, I have no idea what he said.
He said, did it fall out of a wound or pocket? We can wait until he comes back.
Okay.
Did it look like he was shot, or did it just fall out of his pocket?
No, it did not fall out of his pocket. When you turn him over, you notice there actually is a hole in his shirt. It wasn't too obvious with him laying there. It looks like he was shot somewhere chest level, but it did not penetrate. Actually, the bullet is deformed as if it hit something very hard.
Feel around where it looks like he might have been shot.
Okay.
Is it like a hole in his shirt or his jacket? Or something like
suspicious
that.
Black undershirt.
Yes. So you take off his dress shirt, and he has this form-fitting black material that covers him from basically neck to wrists, all the way down. You haven't taken off his pants yet, but it goes all the way down.
I just pull up his pant leg to see how far it goes.
All the way down to his ankles.
I try prodding it with a pen. Just to see if it stiffens when I exert pressure on it.
How hard, how fast do you do it?
Slowly. Well, I will try different approaches. Right. I mean.
Sure. If you just kind of prod him with it, it just seems like any other fabric. It's very pliable. But then if you do it quickly, like in a stabbing motion.
I don't use my own pen for this. I find something of his around the apartment. But yes.
In a stabbing motion, it firms up, we'll say the knife on a dinner cart that's, in the kitchen. You're looking for an implement, you go into the kitchen, there is a dinner cart here. You pull a knife out, it's a dull butter knife, but if you stab quickly.
Quick, he's got a knife, get him!
If you stab quickly, the material firms up after, it just kind of, once it touches the surface and begins to go in a bit, it firms up as if it's hard as steel. And then relaxes as soon as the pressure's gone.
This is an interesting garment.
And since you've taken off the shirt, you notice that the gut wound has penetrated the black material.
So he was stabbed slowly. If I can't. Yeah.
Does it look like it's a straight-in stab or like a slash?
Straight in. Yeah, you can take that butter knife and kind of slide it into the wound to figure that out. It's almost vertical, straight, not a slash. It's definitely a stab. You figure a blade is probably about 2 inches wide, sharp on both sides.
Oh, okay. And where does it go? What part of his anatomy is it? It's his stomach, right?
Yes, Chris can probably tell since he did the best on the roll. Playing around there, it looks like it may have hit some organs. It's fairly low in the stomach, just a little bit above his belly button. So definitely cut lower intestines. Could have caught the spleen, depending.
Are there any maker's marks on his clothing?
On everything except for the skin-tight black clothing, yes, and they're local.
Okay, let's go hit those people up.
I suggest searching the body first?
We've got a bit to do here. I'll check before we take off, but I suspect it's just clothes that he bought when he was here as part of his cover of whatever he was doing here.
Chris, but he must have come wearing something.
Yes. Well, we haven't investigated the apartment yet.
No, I know that. I understand.
I'm busy searching the master bedroom.
One of us is searching the place while you're just sitting there. I wonder what he's...
Yes.
Yes, I'm wondering what I'm finding.
Master bedroom. The bed is unmade, so it doesn't look like he slept in it at least the night before. It has its own adjoining bathroom there. There is a dresser drawer where there is a single set of clothes in it, including shoes. They look casual, middle class. The Maker Mark is foreign to you. It does have one, but it's not in any of the books that you would have been during your investigator school have been shown. So they do have a Maker Mark. It's just not one that's common. Other than that, the only other thing in the bedroom is an ink pen that has a very beautiful wood barrel. The wood is quite interesting. Has different kind of striata in it. It seems to gleam different colors if you move it in the light. Has a very nice quill top.
So, interesting.
Other than that, you find no other personal gear at all. One set of clothes and an ink pen.
So, the shoes, false heels or anything?
I'll give you a chip for that. There is a small compartment in one of the shoes, and you pull out, once again, in school, you would have learned this. This is a baggage claim receipt for the local train station. It's an orange slip of paper with a 6-digit number on it, but you know what it is, having been trained for that.
Four trains. All right. Aha! A clue. I go over, examine the pen. Can I identify the wood, perhaps?
Yeah, given what your specialty is, go ahead and give me a roll on that. I'm going to be careful, I assume.
Yes, and my plus roll. Two stunts?
Yes, if it's a stunt, go ahead and throw it in.
Yes, specifically for matters of wood and careful. Alright, let's see. Two.
Two shots. Okay,
am I careful? So that's actually plus four.
Plus four, that's good enough. This is very interesting. You wish you could get a hold of wood like this back in your crafting games. This is very, very rare. As a matter of fact, it doesn't exist outside of a place called Japan.
Ooh,
Japan.
History-wise, Japan is completely locked off from the rest of the world. They do not let anyone, they do not let foreigners in. There is communication over radio and kinetoscope, but there's never been a foreign person there that has not been invited by the emperor. And they do not export and they do not import.
Yeah, I don't recognize the guy, but I recognize the wood.
Yes.
The pin come apart, internal.
Yes,
well,
it does. But there's nothing special about it. It's well crafted, but there's nothing hidden inside.
Notepad around?
Stationary? Not in this room. Not in this room.
Well, I imagine I have a little notepad on me for taking clue notes.
Right.
Like I'm actually doing right now. So I test the pen on the pad. See if it writes.
It does. I'm going to go with that same skill roll you just did, and I'm going to say it has an interesting smell. You suspect it's squid ink.
Squid ink?
Yep.
Like from the animal, or?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh. Interesting. And so, look, do a little double check, make sure there's no false panels in the closet or anything.
Yeah, sure. You'll be spending some time doing this. You're going to find nothing there. Yes, reading your message. Actually, the bathrooms are, each room has its own bathroom, and there's a door into the bathroom. But then the bathrooms themselves have doors going out into the living room.
Yes, but there's no bedroom into the bedrooms.
Yeah, I forgot to put those in.
Imagine that there is one.
Yes, imagine that there is one.
Yeah.
Guys, I found a clue. Two clues.
We found many.
I'm going to wander the kitchen. Oh, suddenly doors are appearing.
Yes,
the architectures are changing around us.
There are doors now.
I jump out the window to avoid this changing.
Richard, you're Warren. Warren, where you got your butter knife from to begin with, there is a cart here from the hotel.
Dinner cart, you said. I made a note of it here to ask the waiter who delivered the dinner cart. Yes.
And it's a placement for two. There's a bottle of wine, empty. There's the remains of a fairly lavish meal onto two plates, and there are two drinking glasses here. One mostly empty, one completely empty.
Well, when we reconvene.
Remember, do we know about fingerprints? Is that a thing?
Yes, you do. Yeah, you definitely would have been trained into that as well.
Well, do we want to? It's everybody back reconvened in the place we all conveniently done at the same time.
Well, those of you that were looking around the house, I'm just going to go over real quick. The two closets are also devoid of any personal materials. There is the hotel's, or it's not really a hotel, but the apartment's own linen service. So there are their linens here, their bathrobes here. There are some toiletries in the master bedroom, comb, Maker's Mark here from Metapol, toothbrush also from here, both fairly, you know, cheap quality. Other than that, there's no personal items in this place at all. The den has a very large window in it. That's what the blue squares are, windows. Who would have checked the den? Let's see. Woodworker would have been taking his time in the master bedroom, yes. Especially if you're checking for secret panels. That would have taken a while.
Yep. So no one. As two of us examined the body, one of us sat down and the other one...
I imagine I would get to the den eventually.
And you would have gotten to the den eventually then. That's fine. Also, once again, with your first roll, we'll go with that. The window, it's a large window. It has a very scenic overlook to a nice rolling green plain that's out towards where the farms are in that direction. It's very idyllic. But you notice, just as you're turning away, that the window is not completely latched. It's closed, but it doesn't look like the latch had locked.
Suspicious. Brennan walks over to the window, looks it up,
jumps
down.
Out.
Not quite, but reaches out.
If you put your hands behind your back, we are pushing you out.
The window doesn't open. It opens outward. But it does not open very far. Like a man of any significant size couldn't go through here. So a more modestly sized person could.
Say perhaps the same size as the dead man that we found?
Certainly. Yeah, he's a small enough man that he could get through here. Just anyone who is, you know, particularly bulky or large would have a hard time fitting through this. This is the second floor, so there's about a 30-foot drop down. But you notice just below the window, there is a ledge that's about the span of, you know, one brick wide, where someone could stand and get a toe hold or a finger hold, and then drop themselves down to the next ledge. It's also about the same size, and so a person could get down this way if they were highly athletic.
Nope.
So we're looking for perhaps a circus performer. That's the first thing that comes to Vernon's mind, circus performance. And those chimpanzees.
And the last thing, Seymour, as you're going over the body, just giving it a very thorough once-over, you find one more thing. There is a leather cord. It's around his neck. It's actually underneath the black form-fitting clothing he's got there, so you didn't see it at first. When you pull it out, it's very interesting. It's about 6 inches long. It looks to be a very bizarre knife. The hilt of it, I'm just going to describe it as what the players would know versus what the characters see, just to make this easier. So it looks like the hilt of like a katana or a wakizashi, but, you know, made very small.
Mm-hmm.
And the blade at the very tip is sharp, but the blade is hollow. And along the edge, it is rippled like a key would be rippled.
Is it about the size of a tanto or smaller than that?
Smaller. Hmm. It's definitely sharp. The edge or the point is very sharp. The little, like the key like teeth are not sharp. So it's just the tip that's sharp. And you notice the blade itself is hollow.
Very interesting.
All right, so are we all done now?
Not quite.
No, sorry. Have we all finished investigating this, and so we can all come together and say blah, so that we can all go, hey, this is what we've learned while we're checking around.
At this point, you have all seen what you have seen.
One last thing to check. Check the dinner that was brought up and compare it to the food in the kitchen.
And compare it to the what?
Food in the kitchen.
There is no other food in the kitchen.
No food in the kitchen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Except for one thing. You find a very small sack, you know, about the size of a Royal Crown bottle, and in it is uncooked rice. That definitely did not come from the hotel.
Anything hidden in the rice?
Nope.
Well, guys, I'm done searching. You, how about you?
I'm done.
Tell you what I found, certainly.
All right.
Yes. Let us share all this knowledge that you have gained.
Why don't you tell us what you learned first of all?
Well, I believe this guy is a bona fide Japanese. I found this pen. I don't know what those Japanese look like, but I know what this wood is, and it's definitely not from around here. I think it's from the Rising Sun Islands, Japan. I also found this here ticket for a train station check-in luggage. Furthermore, I believe our assailant came out in through the window and left the same way. Had to be small, like this guy here, dead before us. And you, gentlemen?
Oh, I'm going to say blah.
Oh, come on. Theatricality. Come on.
Blah!
And wisdom is imparted.
Yeah. I mean, I have theories on what has gone on here as well, which I will elucidate us on.
Sure.
Did you learn anything there, Biggles?
No, I'm just here keeping an eye on everything that's going on. You carry on there, dear chap.
He's supervising. He's our leader.
And that's the supervisor.
Well, I randomly think that this guy, seeing as the wound was not enough to kill him, was poisoned. And that after he was poisoned, whoever it was used a knife or something to open up his stomach and take something out of it. Possibly something that the man swallowed or, well, obviously something that the man swallowed. Huh. We've been saying man. I'm assuming this guy's male.
Yes.
I'm just, he is a male.
Yes, he is male.
Right, yeah. Yeah. That is my random wild theory to begin with. I also think that we should get this bulletproof garment thing over to the checker so that we can have an exciting new tech thing to play with.
Should we question
Not getting
the waiter?
Shot would be good. Yes, we should question the waiter. Which is there. I would like to know who brought up the dinner cards. And if we can... if I remember my checker training, we can check things for poisons, so we might want to check the wine, as half of one glass was drunk and the other one was drained. Would be my instant guess for what was poisoned.
Mm-hmm. You have geared up for an investigation, so you have your bag, and yes, there is a field test kit in the bag.
Ah, I've never used one of these before. Perhaps I should look inside and see what we have.
Yes, you actually, you will have been trained in the use of what's in there. Basically, for the more common or easier to get poisons, there are various tests that you can run to see from residue. So you do know how to use it. It still takes a little bit of doing. So if you want to test the glasses for poison, go right ahead. Well, what approach are you going to take?
I'm not sure whether it would be clever or sneaky. I guess what I would do first of all is look at the victim's tongue and throat to see if they're discolored from a particular certain poisons. Do that, and then
take a chip. Yes, his tongue is fairly swollen. You have to pry open his jaw to be able to see. But yeah, his tongue is swollen.
Knowing that. What ones, which poisons cause physical deformities, or whatever we call them. I can't think of the correct words here. I think this will be a clever approach then, as I have narrowed it down already.
Go ahead. Give me a roll there. And you can take a plus one to the roll because you can rule out certain poisons.
All right. Well, that makes it a 5 in total.
Not a problem at all. It looks like it was a heavy dose of arsenic.
And were both of them poisoned?
Just the one. Just the one that was drained.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
With that roll, I'll give you something else since you rolled, you got a 3 above. That's, what do they call it?
Boost, I believe.
Success with style. Right. Success with style.
Oh, yes.
Yes. When you pick up the still somewhat full glass and you look at it, the light reflects off it, in an odd way. And then you take a closer look at the rim. It looks like there's a clear, what do you call it?
Lip
gloss. No, it's like gloss, but it's clear.
Huh. Okay. Off of which gloss, sorry?
The one that still has some wine in it. The one that is not poisoned.
And you say we know about fingerprints at this point.
Yes, you do.
So, get the fingerprints off of the half-filled one, I guess. Mm-hmm. So if we find somebody, we can...
Once again, going with the roll you made there, no prints, which would be impossible if someone used the glass. It was wiped clean.
But they didn't wipe off their lip imprint at the same time, and somehow they retained the wine in it.
You guessed that they did wipe off the gloss, but some of it still remained. It's a little smeared and smudged. It's like the stuff is really...
It's sticky.
Viscous, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
That or the person who wore gloves. Either way, someone did use the glass. Well, even if someone burned off their fingerprints, there would still be oils on it. Yeah. You just would not get a whorl pattern. And there's not. It's either been cleaned or the person wore gloves. It's obviously been used.
Or Japanese people don't have fingerprints.
Ah!
could be.
Much about these, Jim.
Well, this gentleman does.
I think it might have been a woman.
I don't know of any other right-thinking men who wear lip gloss. Not in this time period, anyway.
2 wine glasses, a couple drinking, I imagine. The window was small, so it either had to be another one of these guys or a woman.
Ronald might disagree with you there, as lots of pilots that fly in biplanes actually do coat their lips because of severe chap from wind burns.
Yeah.
And would probably drink together. Could be a toast to a... What kind of meal is it? Does it look like a... Is it a... Hey, we're home and we're eating meal, or is it a success to a job well done sort of thing?
It's quite fancy looking by what's left over.
But in this place, perhaps that's what they get a standard. I'll have to ask the waiter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if only we had the waiter here.
I know what else I was going to do. Yes. I look at the 2 beds. Which ones have been slept in?
Neither.
Neither of them have been slept in. Oh, they're made every day, aren't they? God.
The master bedroom was unmade, I recall, but that's about it.
Really?
No. It was unslept in. It was made. Oh. Sorry. You know, you found out, it was unused.
I see.
It was unused last night, too. And how big is it? Would it fit 2 people?
The master bed? Sure. Actually, even the one in the guest bedroom could. They're very large beds.
I only put the guest bedroom as big as 2 dead bodies.
Not to scale.
What I find more interesting about the apartment is that it's got 3 sides on which, 4 sides on which there are glass windows. And yet somehow still managed to fit 4 apartments on this.
Now the windows that are in like the hallway, like where the master bedroom is, they're glass up high just to let light in, not to see out of.
But he's on the second floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a 5-story thing.
It's letting light in from like the hallway. So you know, the glass is more like a vent, we'll say.
Oh, I see. Yeah, all right. That's weird.
I have seen this layout in a particular place.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I would not let people who were outside my apartment randomly climb up step ladders to look into my master bedroom.
And only the den window was left open?
Yes. And it's not even that it was left open. It was closed. It just didn't latch. Like, the lock didn't engage at the top.
So they shut it when they were going out. Because they can't lock it from the outside.
That was Vernon's suspicion anyway?
Yep. Yeah, very good.
So let's go get that waiter.
Sounds good to me.
And tell the police to prepare their yellow tape.
They've already taped off the second floor, so...
that tape will stay for years.
These poor apartment owners now. That poor guy, that 70-year-old, will never get his apartment back.
The checker will claim it.
It's now a safe house.
Yeah, exactly.
Does the checker have its own meat wagon for dead bodies?
Yes.
So we could just call them and have them come pick up the body and... get the armor that's on it.
It's got secrets of national security. Or
secrets of other national securities that we could learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was asking if the Cheka had their own meat wagon.
Oh, yes. They certainly do.
Does this place have a door, like a 24-hour doorman?
It does. They do have a reception area at the bottom. You want to go down now and talk to some staff?
Whenever
start
we
with
do.
The waiter and then work our way down.
Okay. Well, they're keeping their movements about the building very small right now. So everyone's basically on the ground floor. So you can go there and talk to who you want. The manager is there. He's not normally here at this time. Just since there was problems, he decided to have a presence here. There's currently a person manning the front desk. And you see a bellhop here, who is the one that reported the crime. He's kind of sitting here wringing his hands, and you come in just as the manager is having the conversation. Well, I realize they want you to stay here, Bob, but you're not being paid past the time your shift was over, you realize. So Bob is looking a little angsty as you come down the stairs.
Is that right? Are you going to be able to answer our questions for us, Mr. Manager?
Well, I will answer anything you put to me, sir. I wasn't here to really
see. So you're telling me your employee, who I need to talk to, isn't going to be compensated for his time?
Well, he's not helping me or my guests.
National Security is not helping you or your guests? You have a murder on your hand.
No, sir. In fact, you have a murder on your hands. What the residents of my building do are their own concerns. If one decides to die in his apartment, well, that's up to him.
Well, I think we can keep this apartment closed for many months to come, not generating any income for you.
He gives you a very sly smile and says, "Excellent! I'll send the bill to the checker."
We'll send the bill to you, sir.
I don't think it works that way.
How about we do some talking first and then worry about this afterwards?
I don't know. I like threatening first. Sometimes it works.
Indeed.
But you show what you can do.
Yes, the manager has a very arrogant expression to the whole thing. I mean, he's cooperating with you, but you can tell that he really doesn't want to be.
I say we start questioning the manager first.
He doesn't... Man, go and find out who delivered last night's cart to the room. And
assuming it was Bob here.
Yeah, sir.
I assume Bob did as well as the breakfast?
Yes, sir. I worked late shift. I was still on duty this morning. It was the last, my last service of the day. Should have been home hours ago.
When you delivered the cart last night, what happened? Tell us about that time.
He ordered up a meal special, which is unusual. I don't believe I've ever sent a meal to Mr. Sato before, other than breakfast. He had a guest. I didn't get a look at the person. I left the meal card at the door. He answered me there. I didn't get to see who was with him, who was dining with him. He seemed to be just fine. Then, that was around Oh, 8 o'clock last night? No, closer to 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the doorman at around 8 o'clock?
He says, I'm not, and then the manager kind of steps in. That would be Wilson.
Is Wilson here, or is he
home? No, his shift ended at 5.
All right, we're going to need his address, so we need to talk to him, too.
Certainly, I'll call him in. And he goes and gets an address and hands it to you as well.
All right, I'll take the address and say, you don't have to call him, we'll just go visit.
Oh, well, he's already had the phone. Well, he's not answering anyway. He hangs up.
The meal that was brought up to Mr. Sato, was it?
Yes.
It was for two?
Yes, it was.
Is it normally for two?
He doesn't normally take dinner at all, sir. Just breakfast. 6 o'clock every day. It's a routine he wanted us to set up. It's a very specialized meal. My kitchen manager... Oh, no, he says the kitchen manager. This is not the manager talking as the bellhop. He says the kitchen manager disapproves, but, you know, we're here to serve.
What was the meal?
Someone's microphone is really...
Hmm.
Steve, could you mute for just a second? Let's see who this is.
I was on
from.
Mute.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I'm sorry. What? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It might have been yours.
Well, something's just.
Yeah. It sounds all right now. Sorry. What did you ask, Chris? Chris, are you with us? Oh. He's muting.
Well, those are long shifts, I will say. He's delivering breakfast at 6, and he was still working at 8 last night. Those are very long shifts.
Bob says, yeah, I pulled doubles for the extra money. My wife and I, you see, we're expecting. She's expecting me home about 3 hours ago, actually. And he looks over at his manager.
Ba-dum-tsh. And what time was Wilson here, too? He was 0 to 5, and he was even. Yes.
Yep. Wilson pulled the 7 to 5 shift.
Who was here before Wilson?
Let's see. He looks through the book and says, "Oh, I was."
And did you see Mr. Sato return?
Return?
Coming back to the apartments?
Oh, with his guest? No, I don't recall. So no.
Do you ever make notes of when people come and leave the apartment?
Oh, no, this is a very private establishment. Of course, if a guest comes, is not a resident, we, of course, ask who they're here to see, and we'll phone up to make sure it's okay. But guests, of course, can come and go as they please. We don't require a sign-in, you know. Sometimes our clients don't wish to have their guests... sign anything or the record of being anything. We're very private, you understand. Very private.
Of course.
So, likely he returned that. Well, Wilson will hopefully have the answer then.
Looks like Seymour is getting ready to speak again. Let's see.
Is Seymour back? Chris, you there?
If you are speaking, we can't.
So you may still be on mute.
Did not work. Or you may be dead.
Or you may be dead.
Yes.
Oh, it looks like Seymour is not speaking. I think perhaps his voice. Yeah. Oh well. Did Soto at all? Did Mr. Soto ever have a guest that you can recall?
Well, he's only been here 2 days, sir. It's hardly long enough to.
Ah, really?
A pattern of sorts.
Huh. And I believe what Mr. Seymour was asking was, the. Meals that you delivered for breakfast, were they for one or two?
Oh, one. Very strict diet our Mr. Sato had, apparently.
What does he eat?
Well, he pulls out a piece of paper. He says, this is what we were given to be delivered at 6 a.m. promptly every morning. The freshest fish that we could acquire, deboned and filleted, raw. A side of vinegar, a small pot of fresh water, sugar, salt, pepper, assortment of fresh vegetables, whatever we had on hand.
Do any of those things sound like spy implements for, revealing secret invisible writing?
Like the vinegar?
Not really. I mean, the vinegar maybe, but not really.
Then we're the checkup. We have to think of these things.
Yes, you never know.
Perhaps Seymour is getting ready to speak now. Let's see.
Maybe I can speak.
Yes, yes, you are speaking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what fun.
So you were asking a question before your microphone went out on you.
Yeah, and I kind of forgot.
I think you were asking about the meal, which we just talked about. Raw fish, deboned, filleted, cider vinegar, pot of fresh water, sugar, salt, pepper, assortment of fresh vegetables.
Yeah, that's what it was going to be. What was his breakfast?
Yep.
Okay.
That's his breakfast.
Was hot water or just regular water?
Pot of fresh water. He stressed the fresh. He said he does not like the water that comes out of the tap. So we have required for him better water.
Yes, I very rarely drink the tap water myself. Perhaps, dear chap, do you have a letter about the place?
I'm sorry, say that again, Jamis.
To the manager, perhaps, dear chap, do you have a letter around the place?
No.
A ladder.
A larder? I'm sorry.
Ladder.
Ladder. A ladder about the place.
The rungs.
Well, yes.
To climb up and down outside the building so we can investigate from outside.
I believe our janitor has one, yes. They use it for window cleaning. Will that be appropriate?
I think so. Okay. I'll look around and see who's the most physically looking able.
Despite his age, I believe Vernon.
Vernon, dear chap, I got a wee job for you.
Working the high rise again? I'll do it.
All right, Vernon. Yes, you go grab the ladder and take a look outside.
Yeah, it's probably an old part of his job, you know. Go up high places, use nail and hammer.
Not that high. Just up to the second.
You've probably worked on roofs before. Yeah, it's about 30 feet from first to second floor. So
that's pretty high.
Yep.
Have fun.
There's a fairly sizable foundation then?
There is, yeah. That and the rooms all have fairly tall ceilings. Like I said, the apartments are very nice. I mean, they're meant to be long, you know, long stays, not just a night or two sort of thing.
All right. So up I go the ladder on the outside of apartments. What was it?
2A.
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 2A. All right. What kind of approach are you going to use here?
Fleshy.
Careful would make the most sense, but you could try something else.
Careful! I have a decent careful.
Alright, go ahead.
Roll
just,
it, or?
Just one success, or actually a zero would work, just no negatives.
Alright.
Whoops.
Yep, this is overcome action.
Okay.
Plus, whatever your careful
one.
Is.
So, add an overcome action. If you fail.
What's your careful?
It should be plus two, I believe. Plus but two. He's got an equal
okay.
sign.
Yeah. Then you're good. You're good.
Indeed. So that's a one.
No, that was with my plus two, I think, wasn't it?
No. See, you've got an equal sign, not a plus sign next to the two.
I thought I added.
Did not add it a two. Yep.
That darn shift button.
Yep. Okay, well, you succeed.
I got a plus one then. Yes, hooray, I do not fall to my death.
You get the ladder up, and you're looking at underneath Mr. Sato's window. And sure enough, there looks like, you know, it's only like one brick wide, but there's like this banding that goes around a couple feet below the window. And this goes on every about 4 feet down the back wall. So someone could scale this if they were particularly adept or athletic. It is possible.
Significant upper body strength. Imagine it wouldn't be as difficult going down as up or...
It would be more difficult going down, but still possible. Maybe in your younger, spryer years, you could have done such a thing.
Going up, no problem. Going down, not so much. And I don't notice any outward markings on the window, like maybe a grappling hook would...
give me a careful approach for an observation, like you're looking very...
Would my woodworking...
This is brick facade, so not really.
Yeah, all right. 1 plus 2, 3.
A 3, good result. At first you don't see it because it is nearly the same color as the red brick. But you find what looks like a torn fingernail.
Aha, another clue. The
nail is painted or lacquered in a red color that almost matches the brick.
So I imagine my original assumption of a woman being given credence. I take out a pair of Chica supplied clue picking up tweezers and put that in another little baggie. I just be finding all the clues. Yeah, I bring you back down. If this was wood, I would have had no problem spotting that from the ground.
Yes. Yes, you got like little clue boxes that you put stuff in. We don't have plastic bags yet, so.
I imagine they're probably, I don't know, cloth bags or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the cloth would leave behind, stuff on your evidence as well. So, nice, clean box.
Right.
So, we're looking for a woman with a torn-off fingernail. Well, that about wraps it up, then. Well, we're good here. Go forth and find it.
Hey, we got an identifying mark for the assailant anyway. Broken fingernail. If she hasn't cleaned her fingernails anyway.
So, while Vernon's doing this, what are the rest of you guys doing inside?
I'm still questioning the... witnesses.
Sure.
You said you had this list here. Was that written by your guy, or did somebody else write that?
No, I took this down myself, says the manager. This was word for word what Mr. Asato asked for.
No handwriting analysis for you.
Yeah, you're useless. Huh. you, Bob, I believe your name was. Yes? You delivered the meal last night.
Yes.
I suppose... You couldn't see anything, but did you hear anything or smell anything at all from the apartment? Maybe a perfume?
Well, yeah, he looks a little, he kind of looks over the manager and he looks a little reticent. It's like, we're not supposed to notice such things, sir. If you catch my...
In a murder investigation, you do notice these things.
Then he says again, I'm not supposed... Supposed to notice these things, sir, as he looks at his manager. Who's agreeing? He's like, yes, exactly. Yeah. We're not supposed to notice these things.
Manager, come with me and let's have a look at the book here to make sure there's no one else here that is of interest to us. Come on, let's go over here.
You distract the manager, leaving you with Bob.
I take him away. Yeah.
Bob tells you, well... I like I said, I didn't get a good look at who was in the room with him. I don't know who he's sharing his meal with, but I will say he particularly asked for an arrangement of flowers to come with the meal. We had some pretty things in the kitchen still. I made a nice arrangement for him. The other thing I noticed was, when he first got here, Mr. Sato was, his English is pretty good. He didn't tip very well. He didn't have any luggage with him. But last night when I brought the cart by, he seemed to be flush with cash. He gave me quite a generous tip. He actually apologized to me and said this is to make up for not getting me earlier when I helped him, move into his room. Well, not that he had anything to move in, but, showing him around the place and such.
Interesting. He didn't have anything to move in at all. No, there was nothing for you to carry.
No, sir. He just had a shopping bag. I admit that I caught a peek at what was in it. It just looked like some old clothes. He didn't have any luggage of his own or anything. Usually when a person checks in here, of course, we get furniture and all kinds of things. People generally, once they check in, they live here for quite a while. Mr. Artisan on the same floor. He's been here almost 5 years with us now.
So with the manager, I'll be checking out this sort of information. How long was it booked out for, paid up front? What corporation was it signed up for?
Blah, blah, blah. Asking him all that. He looks a little cagey when you start mentioning all that. He's like, well, Mr. Sato and I came to an agreement.
Which you will tell me about right now, I say, putting my checker badge on the desk.
That sounds forceful. Give me a nice little forceful approach roll there.
Fair enough. There's my forceful button. Boom, three.
Ah, that's good. That's good. Well, Mr. Sato didn't have the conventional methods of payment. We came to an arrangement. He had an undefined amount of time he needed to stay in the city. And what he procured our services with was just fine by me. And he goes to the safe and he pulls out an ingot of gold, which he lays on the desk.
Ooh. Cha-ching!
Oh, yeah.
I'm tempted to say yoink, but I won't. I will have a look at it. Does it have a maker's mark on it?
It has a stamp of some sort on it. It looks like it's the head of a wolf with the mouth open. Not any kind of maker's mark you've ever seen. Usually they're not this elaborate.
Well, of course we will need to take this for investigation.
Of course! And you'll, of course, give me a receipt from the checker. With the exact weight of that bar, which he has a scale right here.
Well, that's actually that, you know, yeah, the wood, so, you know. It is part of investigation.
He's happy to let you take it as long as you give him a receipt.
Yeah, well, I said it's part of the normal investigation procedures. Yes, we would do receipts and stuff, I assume. Mm. Yeah. But I put it in a box, but I think we have one quite that shaped.
This one's for gold. All right, Richard. Did Warren have anything else to ask Bob? Bob seems like the type where he's not supposed to notice things, but he keeps his eye out.
Well, ask me if you look through the window in the master bedroom. You know you want to.
I never even thought about that.
I did.
He didn't happen to notice anything else interesting on the second floor then. I can't really think of anything specific.
He thinks really hard because he seems to want to help you. But he says, I'm sorry, that's really all I noticed. I never did get a look at his guest. Didn't hear the person.
How do people get... this isn't really a question for you, Bob. Let me just ask the GM. How do people get up to the floors? Are they got lifts or stairs or...
There is a stair that runs through each of the floors, but then each floor actually has its own stair as well. So, like, if you wanted to get from the ground floor up to the fifth floor, there is a stair that just goes from the ground to the fifth. There's one that goes from the ground to the fourth, etc. There is a lift, but it is more of a
cargo elevator.
Although Bob will mention that. Mr. Arneson on the second floor, the older guy, does use the lift as he's not really capable of going up so many stairs. And occasionally other residents make use of it as well. There's no key or anything. Anyone can use it.
Who the hell put in a separate stairwell to different floors?
So that you don't bother, because these are like private, think of them as private residences, essentially.
About how much room that takes up. You need to have five different sets of stairwell entrances and five different sets of stair shafts.
Building was made before elevators, so. Or useful elevators.
That's incredibly stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's only four floors. Mm-hmm.
That's all that room being taken up.
Yeah. I was just going to say, when you say five floors, you're meaning five American floors. So you're including the ground floor as the first floor.
Yes, right? Yes.
But there isn't an America to have this convention. So this is a four floor.
The first floor is the entry floor. And then so the crime scene was the next floor up, and then et cetera.
Yeah. And it's just, there isn't a convention for that. Because America doesn't exist. Huzzah! Anyway, I'm inordinately pleased by the fact that there's elevators and lifts and escalators.
There are no anti-attics or anti-basements.
Yet.
Yes. I'll do everything I can to make sure that the SSM universe can
forms with the British spellings.
Warren,
I don't know about that. us, the guilds have been changing things, you know.
Vernon, you're done around this time, so you can come back around. And what is Seymour doing while the manager and Bob are being spoken to?
Just looking around to see how somebody could get in and if anybody would notice somebody coming in.
Okay. Well, one, there seems to be just the main door that you have to pass right by the front desk to get to the stairwells. But poking around while everyone else is distracted, there is actually a rear door that looks like this is where maintenance and all the trash is brought out so the residents don't have to see this happening.
Well, I'm going to look at the lock. For no real reason, just looking at it.
Yep. The
how easy it would be to pick or to get through.
It's a good door, and it's a modest lock. It looks like they were more interested in keeping people from bashing the door down than actually picking the lock. It's not a bad lock, but it's not, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it's been tampered with.
No, it does not.
Okay. I'll go back up to the front desk and ask who was on last night.
Awesome.
No, that was the doorman.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yep. Who else are you asking about? Like, Bob, you know, Bob came on a little bit later. We don't usually have cook staff on unless our guests, you know, prearranged for something that like that after, you know, 8 o'clock at night or so. So there was no cook staff. Although the desk men can always whip up something if it's simple enough. And there's always leftovers.
Right. So yeah, I'm kind of interested who the desk man was.
Yeah, you guys have already gotten the name and the address for that guy. And you were also told that he's not picking up his phone.
Yeah. Okay. So Wilson is the receptionist and doorman and stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so we'll take a visit to him sometime soon.
Yep.
So I'm pretty much done.
Do we want to split up at this point?
I don't think we want to split up. We want, in fact, want to get together and blur each other on what we've found.
Blah! I found me a
what in front of the manager?
No. Vernon is an old professional learning a new trade. He tells it right in front of the manager.
Yes, the manager's listening very carefully.
I say, I found a broken female. I found a
broken female on the ledge. Just laying there.
I found a broken nail, female, I expect, outside the window. And continuing in his blundering investigation, he asked the manager, you let in any women last night?
Well, you know, he gets a little red in the face. We don't really notice such things, being discreet and all. But while I was here on shift, I didn't let any women into Mr. Sato's. No. Can't speak for the rest of the evening, though.
Mm-hmm. Fair question, though. Well played.
You were... What about around 8:30, 8 o'clock?
That's Wilson was on, and we need to go talk to Wilson.
Let's go find this Wilson.
Well asked, Evan. Well asked.
To the Checkermobile.
I will handball the cards for the checker. Consider us as your courier.
Oh, he looks like this with big wide eyes. Really? You think I got a makings of an agent?
If you can survive the brutal induction ceremony, yeah.
He looks at the old man with weak eyes. Wonders if maybe that's what made you this way.
Burton's actually probably about in his 50s, so he is a fairly old man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so no. Imagine him saying, I'm 19.
Bob pockets the card and shakes your hand heartily. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You hardly shake your head.
Yeah. You got good eyes there, so. Alright. Let's move on.
Is there anything else here we can think of at this dear place before we take off? No? Then let's take off. We will have someone come by to pick up the body and such.
Oh, I have a question quickly, manager.
Ooh.
Who changes the linen in the bedrooms?
Well, different residents request that happen at different times. For Mr. Sato, he did not have a pre-arrangement for that. He looks through the books and says, over the last few days, it's different times during the afternoon that Mr. Sato has been gone, and he has given us permission to change his linens. Not at the same time. 1 o'clock one day, the first day after he got here, and the next day at 3 o'clock.
Is any of them on staff right now?
Yes. Matilda is here, and she, yes, she changed his room the second day he was here.
Okay. And then, basically, the question to ask Matilda is, did you happen to notice whether both bedrooms were used, or whether there was more than one person in the master bedroom?
There was a spear dead body lying on the ground.
Yeah.
Matilda, also much like Bob, seems to be ill-abused by management and is always listening to things that go on in case it gives her an edge in something. No, she liked Mr. Sato. He said he's a very clean man. She only saw him in passing the one time, but his apartment, very clean. You know, he slept in the master bedroom, but he always made the bed himself the next day. Of course, she changed the linens anyway. A very tidy man. He prepared his own meals, it seems. Sometimes in the kitchen, she'd have to do a little cleaning, but not much. You know, she loves her tidy guests. They don't cost her much time. And she did note, though, that usually, the guests will leave a little something out for maid service. But, you know, with Mr. Sato being foreign, he may not have known the norm for this sort of thing.
He didn't make up for it the second day.
She only visited him the second day.
Oh, you only visited the second day. And he didn't make up for it on the second day.
Didn't have the cash by that point.
Yes, it depends when I got the cash and when stuff was going on. Interesting. Probably irrelevant, but details make up the story. Thank you.
She is glad to talk to you as long as you want to talk. Apparently, her next chore is to visit Mr. Arneson's room, and Mr. Arneson craps the bed every night.
It's going to turn out Mr. Arneson did this, doesn't it?
Well, here's a card for the checker as well. Just in case you fancy a change of career.
The recruitment drive.
The checker. We need spies everywhere.
By the way, Bert will be very disappointed if we don't have sake by the end of this adventure.
Speaking of crapping Bert, I mean, So when people die, they let go of their bowels. So presumably there was shit everywhere. Either that or the bulletproof garment he's wearing is very tight on his body.
It is very tight to the body.
And I gather that doesn't always happen.
I imagine the checker coroner.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, but it's got a pouch.
That doesn't always happen. It depends on the particular drama narrative being putting on display. Particularly if it's PG-friendly or not.
Let's
just think of all those CSI shows which like to do all the... we've got another shit stain to clean up for this.
Check his underwear. See what he ate.
Yes, maybe we should get him to check what he ate, to see which area of town he was in. He was out for lunch. Because he only got breakfast here.
Dum, 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 dum.
All right, well,
what's the name of that cafe? Can't remember.
That serves long pork.
No. The one that does the German food and the other stuff that we had that adventure in.
I can't remember that phrase. Listeners, you'll get a bonus point.
Visit some fish and chips place by the docks.
Huh. Maybe. All right, well, I have nothing more to be asked here.
To the Checkamobile!
And where are you off to?
You have a Checkamobile?
Yeah, they got tired of people all coming in at different times because they're taking tube transport or walking or bicycling, so you actually have a car.
Okay, who's driving?
That makes our initial scene where we asked to see each other's identification rather awkward, as we were all in the same car when we turned up.
You never know. You don't want to find a traitor while still in the car. It makes fighting them awkward.
Yep. To Wilson's place, I suspect, and he's probably just asleep, which is why he didn't answer the phone.
I don't know if this person is eliminating people who have seen her.
We'll find out when we get to Wilson's place, won't we, old chap?
Yes, we will.
Wilson's place is modest. He's in an area that is, you know, people here aren't have jobs, so you know they're not poor, but they're right on the line of, you know, being able to provide and being able to not provide. You know, you're one missed paycheck away from being on the wrong side of that. So that's the neighborhood you're in. The buildings are fairly close together. He does have a house as opposed to being in an apartment. It's a very small yard, a little postage stamp yard with, you know, not much of anything. As you pull up, the first thing you notice is the door is ajar.
Ajar of what?
Sorry, something just struck me.
Negative 5 chips.
What's that? Before we go in,
we haven't got anywhere. We just pulled up.
The ticket claim thing that we got from the railway, that doesn't need a key to get it, is it? It's just a hand over the ticket and you get your stuff.
Yes.
Right, okay. That's good. So that clue will be there indefinitely, unless you see it and steals it. So let's investigate the dead body. The house where there might possibly be a dead body.
Does anyone have any weapons on them?
I thought we all established we had...
You all have stun guns. You all have stun guns. You eagerly await your next level of recruitment when you're given ballistics.
I'm just thinking, do we want to call in someone who's actually got, you know, a weapon or something before we go into a crime scene, in which someone may still be there and ready to attack us?
Mm-hmm. Or as they, in an awe-inspiring tone, call it in your investigating pool when you're first coming up through the ranks, the level at which you are at least equal footing with the criminals.
Well, I'm going to compel my trouble then, I guess. Mm-hmm. Journalist Russian, where angels fear to tread.
Sure. I'll let you self-compel that as you rush in. Are you going in with your taser drawn? Go ahead and take a chip.
Yeah, why not? Let's go in.
I could rush
tell
in,
tell us if you get cold.
I'm a gullible old man, new to this job, so I rush in right along with him.
Sure. Warren will lead the charge, however, being his trouble and all. You push the door the rest of the way aside, and you barrel into basically the main room. Quick look around. You see that there has been a struggle here. There is a man who's still wearing, like, his bed clothing on the ground, knifed several times. Big pool of blood all over this place. There are boot prints going through the blood and heading out the back. The blood is fairly fresh. It's still pooling.
Keep going out the back then.
Right.
Quick, I'll shout out for the others as I'm running through the house. Hey, dead body in here. There might be another one out the back soon enough.
We're not back. The back is bloody prints go out to the kitchen area, and the back door is wide open. It's banging in the wind a little bit. Prints go right out.
I keep going to see if I can see anything.
Okay. Warren, you come out the back, and this is like a back street. There's a couple houses back here with all the backs are facing the back this way, so like they're there's no front porches facing this area. That's what I'm trying to get at. And on the street there is burned rubber tire patterns as someone made a quick getaway. It's still warm. You lean down, you touch it, the plastic or the rubber is still, like, gooey. So this happened very shortly ago.
I'm by the body. All right. I'm going to shout out, hey, you! And see if anybody comes to the back windows to look out and see what's going on.
Yes, directly across from you. A head peeks out from behind a window. This would be this house's back window. It is looks to be a face of a young girl. When I say young, maybe not even teens yet, just kind of peeking out, barely tall enough to reach the windowsill as she looks out at your yelling.
Hey, you. Would you like your name in the paper?
So you're gonna walk across.
Yeah,
the yard.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over there and
say, I'm gonna skip to the inside for a bit. Who paused at the body?
Vernon
Seymour.
Vernon and Seymour both paused at the body. All right. These are basically just give me careful rolls for this is your investigation roll for the scene. So whatever you roll, we'll take it for you know you're basically poking around and such.
Two
and three. Okay. And what's Ronald doing?
Slowly coming in, being much more careful about things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ronald, give me the same role, careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Zero is good enough to, let's see, this is...
Make sure he's still dead first. I mean, he is dead first.
That's what I'm checking.
All right.
We're the checker, after all. We check these things out.
Oh, yeah, Ronald, you're just taking a...
There's another dead body here now.
Casual eye around the place. With that roll, you can choose to fail, or you can have a success at a very minor cost, if you wish. Up to you.
What's minor cost in this context? Just, I can't remember the rules off the top of my head.
In this case, it honestly won't amount to much. I would suggest something like, so as you're coming through, you trip, over a piece of bad paneling that got removed, and normally you'd take, one box of damage from falling, but it'll be gone in the next scene anyway. So, some minor, pratfall or catastrophe.
Yeah.
Right here at the doorway.
Carpet wasn't quite nailed down properly. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You take a tumble. You land on your back, facing up, and you're looking at the door frame, and you notice that the door chain has been ripped out of the side of the wall. So it looks to you like the man came to the door to answer it, just pulled the door open enough just to see who was there, the chain still on, and then the door was forced open.
Well, that'll happen.
At the body, let's see, Seymour, since you've been looking at dead bodies a lot lately, we'll give you the observation there. You are seeing two different stab patterns. The guy was obviously stabbed to death. I mean, yeah, you know way you're surviving these wounds. Looks like one of them actually probably got him right in the heart. The rest of them were more malicious than anything else. This wound probably did it. The rest were just violence. Two different sizes of blades you're seeing. The widths are different on this, on a few of the stab marks. And for Vernon, looking about, he's still wearing his blood clothing since he worked the late shift. He was probably either just getting into bed, or had just laid down when this happened. And we'll also say since Seymour is more involved with the body, is that okay with you, Chris? You're checking out the body more?
Yeah, just checking it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vernon, the footprints, they're boot prints. You're able to get a clear maker mark. Unfortunately, it's a fairly common one in this area.
What about size?
Yeah, you can get down. There were two assailants. One had bigger feet and probably heavier than the other by how clear the impression is. The other one is a smaller person, but still had, you think unless the woman has really big feet, these were two men.
Hmm. Odd. Both same maker mark?
Yes. And a very, very common one to Metapole. Very common.
Still a little odd that they would both have the same one.
No.
Yeah, the same store and buy them. No, not really.
Well, not only that, but certain maker marks also tend to be for certain economic levels. So, if you got this one maker mark that's basically the Walmart brand, we'll call it.
Well,
everyone who's in that economic bracket is going to buy this.
The Target brand.
Yeah.
Well, this is an indeterminate time of the past, whereas shoes were custom made for the person, more or less.
Nope. Unfortunately, not true. If you get a good maker's mark or a good maker, yes, they are made to an exact size, but we're already getting to the point where some things are beginning to be produced off the shelf, and this type of boot is certainly that way.
All right. Fair enough.
It's made cheap enough that you buy it to the size it is, and if your foot fits, great. If not, well, get used to it.
For example, your chicken clothes.
Yes, actually, yes.
Yeah, we probably all have the same boots.
Oh, yeah, we did it.
Yep. Fits every size, as long as you're size 6, and you want it in black. That's it. That's your choice.
So, potentially, the smaller boot prints could be a small foot in an oversized shoe?
That is possible, yes. That is possible. You can't tell their foot size by the shoe size,
though.
Necessarily.
Could I examine the...
How the length of their stride that gives you the height, and you can take the weight and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, if you want to be clever about it and try and see if you can't figure more out from the footprints, I'd let you have that roll.
Yeah, I'm going to try that, see if, you know, maybe the weight distribution on the impression of the footprints is, you know,
sure.
Off.
I'm going to say that you're going to need at least a great success for this, as this, while it's not complicated math, I mean, there are various tables and charts your guy would have had to memorize to do this, and you would have been exposed to it, but, you know, whether or not it caught in your head.
Worth a shot.
It's definitely worth a shot. And if you think you've got an aspect that might play into it, sure, go for it. But let's have the roll.
All right. Careful or clever,
no,
same.
This is definitely going to be clever.
Well, they're both plus 2, so let's go. Ouch.
No. You vaguely remember the tables from class.
This isn't, woodcraft. I can't figure this stuff out. Hey, what did you guys want to try figuring this out?
They're not those sorts of tables. We're not talking about wooden tables here.
If anyone else wants to give it a try, sure, go for it.
How?
All right.
Nah, can't be bothered.
Okay, across the street, you approach the little girl's house, and she looks at you with big eyes as you're approaching the back door. What are you doing? Or how are you approaching
it? Hey, kids, you seem to be noticing things out of your window. Did you see a car squeal out of here in the past few minutes? See who was in it? Did you see what color it was?
Do you keep your badge out in the open, or do you not?
No.
You do not. Okay, you hear a very quiet voice from inside that says, "Mommy tells me not to talk to strangers."
Who said she was a teenager?
I said, no, she was not quite.
She was not quite.
Not quite a teenager. Yeah.
I'm not a stranger, kid. I'll fish out my badge at this point. I'm a police officer. I'm a member of the Checker. I'm investigating the things, trying to catch the bad man.
She gets really big eyes, and she says, "Like on the kinetoscope?" There's a show going on now about Checker investigators.
Yeah, just like on the
very popular propaganda can never start too soon.
You know, you should read books as well. There's some good books. Reading's always good for you.
She pouts at that. she opens a door and just opens it just enough. There's still a chain attached to it. And she looks through the door and she says, "Are you here about the scary men?
Who just left here a couple of minutes ago?" Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Me. Yeah, what did you see?
Well, she points at the house behind you. Two big guys come running out of there, yelling at one another. And they jump into a car that was parked back here. It was a green car, one of those that have no backs, where they put stuff in the back and there's no truck maybe, like the farmers use. And they took off that way. And she points down the street.
Very observant little girl. Uh-huh. Must make your mommy really proud.
Join the chicken.
She smiles and says, "Uh-huh, I like your show."
What's your name, my girl?
I'm Jessica.
Oh, okay. Do the Checker actually have any connection with the Checker at all?
Like
with the Checker show, sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. It's just blatantly it's propaganda. It's to make people want to help the Cheka. You think of it as like CSI, you know?
Actually, I imagine it as a Dragnet.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Perfect.
My name's Jessica. Well, you keep watching that kinetoscope, and maybe one day we'll have a little girl on there named Jessica who will spot something important.
She gives a big smile and says, aren't you going to ask me the questions?
Just the facts, man. I don't know.
You have to do it proper, like.
I'm in a bit of a hurry, I'm afraid.
But I have more information. But you have to ask it right.
Oh. All right. I don't expect that this is something that Warren does. I don't think he watches the kinetoscope. What a waste of space. Taking up valuable time that could be taken up writing or reading, which is a proper medium.
Well, I'll throw this out. It may be something you saw while at a bar.
Or as part of your checker.
Yeah, if there's checker training, then yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Ding. Yes, if you fall back to your training, there's always questions you're supposed to ask. The who, what, when, where. You know, you've got questions you're supposed to ask every witness. And if you start going down the list with the girl apparently is just a fanatic about the show because she knows how tall the guys were. She knew what they were wearing, the color of the car. She got the license plate number.
We have
plates now. Yes, because becoming the society's becoming more regulated.
Do we have the DMV
problems? Well, there is a central office which the Cheka run.
Which the Cheka run.
Yes.
Well, we're always the ones checking the plates.
Yeah,
I know. I'm surprised we let anybody have cars except us.
Oh, we need them to get food into the place, so unavoidable.
But she describes two men. One, she tells you, in her estimating eye, is probably 6 foot. The other one is about a foot shorter. The shorter guy had kind of a wispy mustache, like he's trying to grow one out, but not having a lot of success at it. The other one was older. He's clean shaven, but he had a big red nose, like he'd been broken a lot of times. And she gives you the JK3-2 plate. You know from the letters on it that is actually, in fact, a truck registered to Agra. So that is a farming truck. The rest of the letters you could use to figure out exactly who owns it, but you know what it's designated for.
At part of the check, do we have a phone number that we can call to
of
get
course.
The information?
Yes. Yeah. And your cars are equipped with radios now.
Ooh. I was going to use the guy's house line.
So was I.
You can do that too, but your cars have radios. You don't have personal ones. You don't rate that high, but your cars have them.
Because our cars could be used by somebody more important than us.
Yes. All right, call that in.
Keep up like all the cars are equipped with mini bars, but you have the little sign that says don't touch unless you're operative level.
I think that's dry by now. All right.
If they knew they were giving it to you, they probably didn't stock it when they gave it to us.
Oh, that's a very observant little girl you are. Thank you very much. And then go back into the house to tell the others what I found.
And we're there arguing over the footprint, saying, okay, we think it's about this high. It might have been this high, sort of this sort of stride.
I'll come in, examine the footprints, and go, ha, I suspect they are, and then rattle off the information.
With a wispy mustache and everything as well.
And someone is desperately trying to find the field book. It's like, it's here somewhere.
That would be Vernon. And he's going, that's amazing. To Warren.
Yep. Little girls, just as good as security cameras. Actually, security cameras aren't quite as good as it.
No.
If only we could make things as good as little girls. Yeah, they came in through the front but went out the back. That's
yes. Yeah, because they kicked the door in.
They planned it then. I think they staked the place out.
I don't know, but let's phone in our information, as Diana heard. I was going to say Warren, but I'm Warren. as I heard Seymour saying when I turned up.
Let me do some editing here just a bit. Just more information that the girl could have given you that I just washed over. One is that they parked in the back. And it was very quick. They parked in the back. Two guys came out, went around the front, and then just like minutes later, came out the back running, jumped back into the car. So from the time that the car came around back and parked, yeah. So anyway, there you go.
Makes sense.
I don't know why they didn't bother to park in the front.
Stewart's know they had a back entrance to it, and this was the back of the place. So that's a pretty good detail.
We think they're stabbed by two people as well, don't we? Because of two different stab patterns on that. So
remember the way the houses are set up. Coming out of the back, there's not a lot that could view it. I mean, the little girl's house with the one small window. You know, is probably the closest person that could have seen anything.
I can't recall if you said did she describe them as foreigners or white guys?
White guys. Yep.
White guys.
And one of them was about 5 foot, you said?
And the other one was about 6. So one was like about a foot shorter than the other guy. One apparently younger because he's having problems growing in his wispy mustache. And the other one had a big red nose, like it had been broken. Or
this turns out to be Marshall and Marco. I won't be shocked. Okay, I just want to say I will not be shocked.
Sounds like people from the Checker. Somebody's taking out a new guy on a run to see how it goes. And it's all gone horribly wrong.
Should have been.
Well, I jump on. I wait for Seymour to finish on the phone before I jump on the phone as well. Give him the.
Well, one can use the phone and one can use the radio.
But he's already there. give him the license plate and, hey, can we be on the lookout for?
Of course.
But we connected them with the police at that level.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we put out a bolo and say, hey, we think they just killed someone.
Yep. And very, very recently, too, the other thing, the girl put it at, like, between when they left and you arrived, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I knew.
Yeah, very, very short time ago.
The rubber was still warm. Mm-hmm. I was hoping they would say they went that away, and then we could jump in a car and rush off. But nope.
She did.
Yeah, she did say they went that way.
I know they went that way. But
that was 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, they could be anywhere now.
I was hoping she would say, goodness, they just left the horrible man that way.
Let's call it in.
Was the phone off the hook when we got here? Before
it
we
was.
Tried?
It was off the hook.
So was there a pad by it by any chance?
Like a notepad and such. Yeah, sure.
Any notes written down?
Milk, eggs.
Shucks. Did we actually use the landline?
The question you'd ask is, operator, are you on the phone and did this phone make a call to somewhere?
Well, yes, that's what I was about to do.
If you toggle the switch, you get a line back, and if you ask for an operator, yes, there is an operator.
Did this line make a call recently?
No. The last time a call was made from this line was over 12 hours ago, although there was an incoming call, which would have been the bank manager's call.
About 15 minutes ago.
That she could not connect because the receiver was off the hook.
Mm. Well, the receiver would not matter if she could connect it. She could connect it, right?
No, actually, you can't. Because once the tone... once it times out, basically, it closes the connection on that end. This is the common way to, if you don't want to receive a call, you take the hook off and just leave it off.
Okay.
But can't you tell the difference between a phone off the hook and a phone that's not being picked up?
Well, what do you mean?
As in, the manager said the phone wasn't being answered, which is not the same as the phone, as in, the phone's actually off the hook and not able to receive.
This only happened 15 minutes, and we took longer than that to get there.
No, this is probably timing wise.
He was asleep.
Yeah.
And he then got up and went, oh, God, I've got to go downstairs, and then got the door kicked in and tried to get to the phone and call somebody in the meantime.
Search the house?
They just came in, they killed him. I mean, once they killed him, they went straight out the back. There were no bloody footprints going anywhere else, right?
Nope.
So we can get this place, we can call in the checker to seal this place off so we can come and log it at our leisure. Whereas the ticket could be,
on the off chance that he was in his uniform last night, right?
Well, one of them is bedclothes.
Imagine we check the due diligence of his uniform, see if he got a big tip or something.
I guess so. We can do that while we're here.
All right. Sure. You want to check through his uniform and his wallet and stuff like that? Yeah, he's got a little bit of cash on him, but not a lot. Yeah, his uniform is rumpled from the night before, although he's got a closet full of them.
No off chance they, like, took notes of things he was supposed to take notes of, but that would have been left at the farthing building, I imagine.
Yeah, you don't really, you don't really find anything suspicious. You know, the guy had a few, a few bills on him, but not a lot. If he worked that long of a shift, he could have gotten tipped by any number of people. There's just not a whole lot of anything.
Just a thought. I guess we have a train station to go see.
Yes, we do. Let's go hit the train station.
Okay, fine. Yeah, don't worry. Doesn't matter.
And on the way, we'll call in the...
Now, I will say this because I never can tell with Bert. We make sure that... Is it normal practice to have someone to come and secure the scene before we leave?
It's up to you. I mean, you certainly don't have to wait. Protocol says if you're in pursuit, that you certainly don't have to. But yeah, you should. If you have a scene that you need to secure and you have the ability to wait, you should. But that doesn't
take
precedence.
We'll wait then, because I don't trust Bert to not have something happen to the scene while we're rushing for the train station.
Well, what happens, is the police come first, to secure the location. And then shortly afterward, a check agent will come by and just basically sit on it until a team comes by and sweeps the place.
Yep. We're not expecting anything major to happen here, but, you know.
Because the police have to come first to put up the tape.
Yep. Yeah.
Sounds good.
So what is it? Oh, yeah, we don't have to worry about it. So this is big. We have to worry about it.
We do, yes.
All right. So you guys are going to head to the train station then?
To the train station.
Okay. We're almost at the 2-hour mark, so if you don't mind, let's take 5 now.
Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, bluemagik.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.